This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Joe Bevilacqua and New Chapel in Grand Rapids, Michigan. For more information, please visit newchapel.com.
Absolutely. Let's give it up for the Myers family. Go ahead and stand up. Ryan and Stephanie, stand up, stand up. They hate this. Go ahead and stand up. Give it up for them, guys. Praise God. Thank you so much. Ryan and Stephanie will be inviting their first daughter into their home. And I say first because I expect you to compete with Kai and I. Their first child into their home this December. She's yet to be born yet, but everything's in line for their first adoption. I'm so happy for them. God came through for you. He always does. Amen, somebody. Well, hey, Merry Christmas. Welcome to New Chapel. Really pumped that you're with us today. My name is Joe Bevilacqua, and I'm the senior pastor here at New Chapel. Really honored that you're with us today. Also want to welcome a special group of people that's in and amongst you. It is our newbies and new kids. Give it up for our newbies and new kids who are in here with us today. Normally, every service that we have, the kids have a catered service just for them. And we just believe that we want to make the gospel clear for them on their level, that they can understand what's going on in their life and in their walk with God. But one time a year, we invite them in with us because we think some of these cool creative things, and especially the telling of the Christmas story, is a powerful thing that we want to make those memories with our family. Say amen, somebody. And we just think that's an awesome thing. And by the way, if you are a first-time visitor, please fill out that card. We want to connect with you. For sure. Well, hey, Merry Christmas, and really excited. What's funny is some of you guys in this room, you've been celebrating since like October 31st at midnight. You know what I'm saying? And quiet you. But for some of us, like to me, Christmas doesn't start until we have this service. Like this is when it becomes kind of real for me and in our family. And we're so focused on putting it on for y'all that, you know, really doesn't take root until really this service together. And boy, Kai and I, we're so excited about this Christmas this year. All our plans are kind of together. On the 23rd, we're going to be with some extended family and then with my in-laws, praise God. And so that's going to be good. And then on the 24th, I call it Christmas in Poland because our family are a bunch of West Side Polacks and we have kielbasa on the 24th and that's going to be good. I'm excited about that. And by the way, if you're getting it from any place else but Ralph's on Leonard, you've actually never had kielbasa before. So anyway, Christmas in Poland. And then it's on Christmas Day, Christmas in Italy. We're going up to the metropolis of Nuevo to my dad's house, and he's a big old Dago, and trust me, we're going to have some good food and good time, and it's really loud at my family, and it's going to be good. But hey, we're excited about it, especially because our son Aurelio is with us. He's our two-month-old. That guy's, I think we have a picture of Aurelio. It's two-month pictures. He's so cute. And look at that kid. He is so cute. And I asked God, I said, God, give me a boy. And I want him to look like his mother. I want him to be like his mother. I want to have his mother's temperament. I just want him to have my last name, God. Just give me a boy, you know. And God answered my prayer like, how cute that kid is. So we're excited about all the family stuff that we get to do with him. And in the midst of all of this, Kai and I start watching Christmas movies to kind of get in the mood. You know what I mean? And so we started watching Christmas Vacation. How many of you guys love Christmas Vacation? But here's the thing. We can never get past the cartoon intro, or we have to watch it, I should say, probably seven times because Kyle loves the song. And so we don't own the song as an MP3, so we have to play the beginning. And like, Kyle, there's no real words to the song. It just repeats Christmas Vacation, like over and over and over again. She's like, I know, I love it. I'm doing dishes to it. So anyways, we're getting in the Christmas spirit. And it's good. And I've been on the radio a little bit listening to stuff, and I heard something. You're going to think this is kind of funny. I heard somebody say about pro sports teams that they line up their entire year in order to not be traveling or to be playing on Christmas Day. And what one of the guys said, and I think this is a quote, is he said, there's no way that we're going to be traveling or playing a game on Christmas because we don't want to, catch this, miss Christmas. That began to buzz in my mind that this guy thinks that he could possibly miss Christmas. How in the world could you miss it? How could you miss all of the lights and all of the cards and all of the pageants? And who lit Pandora's box of demons out at Rivertown's Crossings Mall? I swear, if you want a demon casting out ministry, you go to Rivertown Crossings Mall. It is absolutely demonic. I mean, all the people are out. They're absolutely crazy. And my question is, how could you ever miss it? Christmas is the most anticipated, the most celebrated holiday of the entire year. We are by far exceeding any other religion in size, but then also Christmas is our biggest celebration. It's worldwide, y'all. It's a huge, huge deal. And this guy was saying, I could possibly miss Christmas. And that buzzed with me, buzzed in my head, because I really believe that there are well-intentioned people, intelligent people, good people who are going to put lights on their house and stay in the dark about what the true meaning of Christmas really is. And I believe that we need to fight against this. We need to combat against this thought, because I think Christmas has been hijacked. It's been turned into something that it isn't. And I believe it is possible that we could miss Christmas. Let's not do it. Let's not go down that road. And I believe in the bottom of my heart, especially, you know, practicing over that Christmas story over and over again and reading and studying for this message, I believe that people miss Christmas for the same reason that they missed it during the first Christmas. I really believe that in the bottom of my heart. So write this down. We can miss Christmas because of busyness. And if you got one of these, write that down somewhere on the back or front of this. Take some notes, throw it in your Bible. But I believe that we can miss Christmas because of busyness. And the greatest example of that is the innkeeper in the scripture, right? The story where Mary and Joseph and they go and they're trying to find a place to stay, to lay down their head and have the baby. And they go to this inn in Nazareth, and the innkeeper says, there's no room for you. And I begin to think about that and pray over that, and I begin to think, how in the world could this guy miss it? I'm sure that Mary and Joseph were trying to explain to this guy, no, listen, we're having Jesus, the Son of God. You need to let us be here. But this guy was enamored with the busyness of his business, if you will, and missed the Son of God. I'm here to tell you, if he would have had Jesus come there and Jesus was born at his hotel, he would be open today. I mean, he'd be sold out every day forever. Why? The Son of God was born at my inn. You know what I'm talking about? But he missed his opportunity. Now I'm sure if he's open at all, he's branded as the Red Rash Inn. You know what I mean? I mean, nobody wants to stay there. What a jerk, you know? He's probably going to find something gross on your sheets. You know, I mean, that guy's a total twerp. And he was doing well. Why? Because they called for a census, right? So he was booked in a small town, and I get it. But he was so busy that he missed the Son of God. And my question for you is, are we too busy sometimes? Does God have room in your schedule? Does God have room in your budget? Does God have room in your time or your thoughts, in your heart or in your mind? Guys, I believe in the bottom of my heart we can miss Christmas because we're so busy. Write it down. The second reason is I think we can miss Christmas because of familiarity. Familiarity. I really believe we can become too familiar with the message. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you lost the awe of Christmas? Is it not magical anymore to you? Is it just something that you have to do? You've got to trod through it again. It's just another day, another year. We got to go through it. I know all the stories. I know all the songs. And you just get absolutely frustrated if you hear Christmas music at all. Which, by the way, I get frustrated when they're playing it in like the first week of October on Star 105.7. Believe me, that's demonic too. Almost as demonic as that Adele song, which won't leave me alone. I'm turning on the Christian station, WCSG, and all of a sudden they're playing Adele. Hello. It's me. And it's like, what the world is going on? So listen, I get frustrated with that too. But have you lost some of the magic of Christmas? Have you lost some of the awe? Are you too familiar with the message? And all the magic goes away. All the fun goes away. Or maybe the only fun of the holiday is something that you live through someone else. This was the mistake of the religious leaders in Jesus' time. Did you notice in the Christmas story, no religious authority, quote unquote, was present at Jesus' birth. They didn't even see him. They weren't even there. In fact, who was there? Wise men. Now, these wise men are very interesting characters. If you do a study on the wise men, you're going to find out they were not godly men at all. They were called the Magi. In fact, that's where we get the word magic from. These Magi were the closest thing I could equate them to in our culture would be New Ageism, okay? So they were spiritual. They did spiritual acts. They did spiritual things. They were seeking God. Now, here's the cool thing about these guys. They weren't just seeking solace in ambiguity. What do you mean? They weren't just like, I'm just trying to find peace. That wasn't what they were looking for. They were looking for the true God. And I'm here to tell you, you are never more close to God than when you're seeking him. Somebody say amen. And that's what these guys did. They were kind of new age, but they followed a star. In fact, the Magi were people that would, closest thing also would be astronomy, the zodiac symbols. That's what these guys looked at. They were very superstitious, but they saw the star and they followed it. The people in Jesus's day who were predicting the Messiah weren't looking for him. And they didn't find him. They didn't even look at all, but these wise men did. And by the way, that's the reason why we do New Chapel the way that we do it. We are seeker-friendly at New Chapel. Oh, Pastor Joe, I heard about that seeker thing. No, listen, you heard about being seeker-sensitive. You know what seeker-sensitive is? You downplay truths, water down the gospel, try to make it so bite-sized that you diminish the truth of the matter. That's seeker-sensitive. You're too sensitive to everyone else's needs. We're seeker-friendly. That's completely different. You know what that is? We're friendly to people who are seeking God. Say amen, somebody. We try to take out any roadblocks in between. We try to take out like stuff that would make it difficult to understand. But ultimately, we want to give you a gospel that's clear, concise, and simple because the Bible's written at a first grade reading level. Somebody say amen. Some of my shop guys say amen. Amen, right? So we can read it. Amen. So we need to be seeking God, but we get so familiar. Matthew's gospel, chapter 2, scripture says this. Herod called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the law, the religious folk, and he asked them, where the Christ would be born. And they answered, in the town of Bethlehem in Judea, the prophet was wrote about in scriptures, which they were citing the scripture Micah chapter 5 and verse 4 that says clearly that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Now, what's interesting to me about this is they never went and checked. They knew it was the year. They knew he'd be born in Bethlehem. By the way, Bethlehem is a bedroom community of Jerusalem. It was 5 miles away from where they were having that conversation, but they wanted to debate Jesus more than they wanted to see Jesus. Religion does not save, and Jesus is the least interested in religious people who want to argue with you about God. What he's primarily interested in, and what's going to produce life change in your life and in the life of your family, is a relationship with him. That's where things really take root. It's a relationship, not a religion. And God wants to establish a relationship with you. Remember, good people will put lights on their house and miss the light of the world. Don't be that person. Third reason why we miss the meaning of Christmas, we could miss Christmas, is found in this. We miss Christmas because of fear. I really believe that. We miss Christmas because of fear. Some people are out there and they fight city nativity scenes. And they'll put a lawsuit down on a school that does a school pageant that says Merry Christmas in it. There are people like that that I believe in the bottom of my heart are really afraid of the power of the story. That's my belief. And they've been opposing us for years. It's definitely ramped up in the last 5 years. I mean, they're a bunch of twerps. It's no real big deal. Just pray them down. It's no big deal. You got a problem in your school? Pray. Believe in the power of prayer, but amen. So there's people out there that do that, but I don't think that's the primary fear that's active in holding people back from Christmas. Like the little war that they wage against Christmas isn't holding people back. I'll give you a good illustration. The people back in Bible's day that were afraid and missed the Christmas message were the people that feared as well, and it was Herod himself. Herod was called the king of the Jews back then. But he was not Jewish. He was not Israeli. He was not from the nation of Israel at all. In fact, he was a Roman citizen. And in fact, he was of Arab descent. The Jews hated the fact that they called him the king of the Jews. They hated that. And Herod was a nut. Everyone say Herod was a nut. Just feels good to say crazy things at church sometimes, doesn't it? Herod was certifiable, guys. Here's what he would do. He was so afraid, he was paranoid, really, that anybody would overthrow his throne. So what he did was, is he had his wife beheaded because he thought she could overthrow his throne. He had his mother beheaded because he thought she could overthrow his throne. He had 2 of his sons killed. His brother-in-law were killed. This guy was absolutely certifiable, y'all. I mean, he had people killed because of the fear that they were going to overthrow his throne. He knew he was dying towards the end of his life, obviously, and he was about 5 days from death. And what he did was he ordered most of the rest of his children and some of the most popular people in Israel to be killed about 5 days before his death because he said, I want somebody to cry when I die. I mean, he was absolutely crazy. And when the wise men interaction happened, what happened was he became so paranoid about this Messiah figure that he really didn't study about or know about, but he heard about, that he went to Bethlehem and then made an order, made a decree that anyone 2 years old and under would be killed. And it's actually a historical fact. It's called the Massacre of the Innocents. You can look it up in any history book. It's something that did happen. It was a massacre. By the by, the enemy will always try to kill something, either in pregnancy or in infancy. The enemy would love to kill your dream, kill your family, kill your life, kill your future before it ever takes its first breath. Fear. Herod was afraid. Now, you may not have that fear, but you may have this one. A lot of people have a fear to follow God. They have this fear that they're going to lose their freedom, that they're not going to be able to have fun anymore, that the church is going to make you become a fanatic. And can I just tell you something? Our small groups, just to correct people, are totally normal. We only break out the snakes and the anointing oil and glug it up at the end of the semester. I mean, so please cut us some slack. No way, man. We're not fanatics. We're not weirdos. And then can I also say this? You're never more alive than when you find a relationship with God. There's a quote that I heard recently. The glory of God is a human fully alive. We're not going to make you a fanatic or a freak. We're going to bring you into a relationship with God because you were made by God. And you were made for God. God has an incredible plan for your life. Somebody say amen. Until you settle the God issue, listen to me, friend, you'll never be satisfied. You'll never find satisfaction in this life until you settle the God issue. So listen to this. This might put a different tint on it. Herod did all those things because he was paranoid. Can I just paraphrase it in this way? Herod's saying, I don't want anyone else in control of my life but me. Now, is that a fear you can relate to? There's people out there all over the place, surely not you. Amen. I'm going to give you way more credit. But there's people out there that are afraid to be anything else but independent. Oh, Pastor Joe, I'm an independent person. I'm independent. I could never trust him completely because I'm not a codependent person. I'm independent. Well, that's good. That's just not gospel. Does that make sense? Or you think in some sort of way that I cannot be God-serving. You know why? It's because you're self-serving. And you're never going to find peace doing it that way. But ultimately, people try to find solace in serving themselves. Why? You're afraid to give control of your life to God. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, some people have missed the most important thing in life. They don't know God. Man, let it not be said of us. So how do we cross over to the other side, right? In a culture that has hijacked Christmas, kind of rebranded it, commercialized it, made Elmo talk, and then sold it. I mean, how do we cross over to the other side and exist, operate, live, celebrate a true and authentic Christmas? Well, I'm going to take you back to kindergarten to do that. If we're trying to cross the road, go to the other side of this thing, what did your teacher, what did your parents teach you before you cross a road? Stop. Boy, you aren't a bright crowd. What school do y'all go to? You all go to Lowell? This is awful. We're going to go stop, look, and listen. And I believe if we're going to cross over to the other side of this thing and take back Christmas, that's what we need to do. So write it down. Stop. Stop filling our lives with less important things. Guys, don't let the busyness of the holiday season hold you back. Psalm 39 and verse 6, all man's busy rushing ends in nothing. Is that us, guys? Is that the rat race? He keeps heaping up riches for someone else to spend. I think so often during the holidays, I'm going to put in some more hours, I'm going to do all this kind of stuff. Why? To buy your kids gifts? One thing that I've realized having, I think I've got, I don't know, 6 to 9 nephews and nieces. If I cared more, I'd have a count. But anyway, I mean, I've got a ton of these kids, and these kids keep on popping out. And you know what they do? My family buy them expensive gifts. And what do? The kids play with the box, right? That they open the box, and they're like gumming the edge of it. And you're like, I just paid $30 for a hunk of plastic. And you are eating the edge of a cardboard box. Why don't you train your child, you know? So now Kai and I, we've conceded the battle. So what we're buying Aurelio this year is we went to the UPS store, we bought a whole bunch of boxes. Amen. To get out of the rat race. Because you can be so busy making a living for yourself that you don't ever live a life. Listen to me. This is wisdom, businessman. There's a difference in between being active and being proactive. You can do a lot of stuff and get a lot of stuff done. At the end of your life, you're going to be calling for your family, not your business partners. Don't get so busy that you miss this life. Psalm 46 and verse 10, scripture says, be still and know that I'm God. The Joe Bevilacqua paraphrase is, chill out. This is the Bible's chill out scripture 101. Stop being so busy. Be still. Relax. Listen to God every once in a while. He has a plan for you. He's trying to speak to you. We're so hurried and worried about our lives that I feel like we miss God. We crowd him out. We make no room for him in the end. Does that make sense to you? And we can't do that. Why did the shepherds hear about Jesus' birth first? I just ask you that. This isn't like a deep theological question, okay? Why did the shepherds hear first? I believe it's because they weren't doing anything. They were just open. They were quiet. They were listening. In our world, actually, let me say this. In the world, I grew up in church. The pastor used to get up and he'd complain about the TV. You're watching too much TV and stuff like that. And we didn't listen. So what did we do? We put a TV screen in our phone. So now it's like the Walking Dead. You're looking at your teenagers and they're walking like this with a TV screen in front of them. And what happened is this. We're so distracted and we're so busy. If we don't clear the golden elixir stash out of our Clash of Clans game, we're not going to be able to sleep at night. And we're so busy with all of the stuff. That's why church, and I'm challenging the people of New Chapel this January, I'm calling for a 21-day media fast. We're fasting. And in every year for the last 5 to 7 years, Kai and I have gone without food. We just drank water and juice as it was needed. And we went without food. But can I tell you something? I'm more afraid of this 21-day media fast than I am about not eating. Like, it's almost like, hey, maybe we should just not eat again. You know? That'd be a lot easier. And I'm not being legalistic. I'm not telling you even what to do. In fact, what I'm asking you to do is ask Jesus what to do during this fast. What Kai and I are doing is we are going to do the unthinkable. We are not going to watch TV at home for 21 days. Yeah, a gasp. I hope the camera picked that up, that there was a gasp in the crowd. Yeah, thumbs up from the camera guy. Audible gasp in the room, okay? We are deleting Facebook, Instagram, Messenger, every other social media platform off from our phones. That's demonic, okay? And what we're going to do is we're going to replace it with prayer and talking to each other. I looked at my wife and said, oh gosh, you look good. It's been a while, you know? So what I'm challenging you to do is be praying about it, because the fast is going to start on January 3rd. We're going to do a media fast. We're just going to see what happens. I think families are going to get closer together. I think you're going to find that time that you're missing to be able to give to God. Proverbs 10 and verse 27, scripture says, fear of the Lord lengthens one's life. Listen to me. You're so busy, you need more time? Give it to God. The law of redemption says this, if you give time to God, you'll get it back. If you give money to God, you'll get it back. The law of redemption is whatever you need, give it to God, and he gives you more of it back in return. So the first one was stop. The second one is look. Everyone say look. Write it down. Look closely at why Jesus even came. Look closely. And this is one that Herod got right, even though he was nuttier than a fruitcake. He had bad intentions in doing this. This is what he got right. Matthew 2 and verse 8. Go and make a careful search for the child. See, guys, the wise men had a star. And I believe that others saw that star too. I don't get it why others didn't make the effort to go seek out Jesus. I just don't get religion. And I'm here to tell you, it's going to take a concrete decision on your behalf to follow God. We have a really great example of this. January 22nd, 2013, my wife and I walked down the aisle. It was wonderful. We got married. It was a blizzard. It was really cool. And great pictures, fluffy snow. It was a beautiful service. And we went for honeymoon down to Orlando, Florida. And it was great. And we woke up the next day and we're making breakfast together. And Kai says, ooh, we're married. Isn't this awesome? And I kind of looked at her and I said, well, you know, I'm relaxed, you know. But I mean, other than that, I mean, you know. It took, guys, listen, a couple of weeks for my emotions to follow the decision that I made. Can I put it this way? I didn't feel married. I didn't feel married. All of a sudden, one day, I woke up and went, yeah, this is awesome. High five. It's like a slumber party that never ends. This is great, you know? And my emotions caught up with my feelings. And the thing about it, guys, is it's going to take a concrete decision that you know in the bottom of your heart that you need a Savior, that you need God in your life. You know, if the government could save us, God would have sent a politician. And we know those are from the devil. Okay, amen. And if education could save us, God would have sent a teacher, but we needed a Savior, so God sent Jesus. Somebody say amen. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13, God says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with your whole heart. Guys, don't be that guy. Who's that guy? The guy that does Christmas year after year, but never really knows why he's doing what he's doing. So the first was stop, second was look, and the third one is listen. Everyone say listen. Listen, write it down, listen to the good news of Christmas. Like you can't be afraid of it. Scripture says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, the angel said, fear not. Isn't it amazing? In the middle of the Christmas story, God says, fear not. By the by, there's 365 times that the Bible tells you from heaven to fear not. One for every day of your life to stand on. Why? Because God knows that you are going to be prone to fear. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. The angel says, fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. I'm here to tell you guys, you are not really living your life until you're living your life with God. And what happens is God changes you. It makes all things new. What does that look like, Pastor? I don't know. John 10:10, the great dividing line of the Bible. Scripture says, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and that more abundant, an abundant life. In the Greek, that word abundant means excessive. God is saying, I've come to bring you an excessively good life. You're not living it until God is at the center of your life. Somebody say amen. And there's a difference. Listen to me again. I'm speaking to some families, some mom and dads right now. There's a difference in between living and existing. So often we just exist in this life. And again, whether you're distracted by a TV or a screen or you're just coasting through your life, there's a difference in between existing and living. Your life was meant to be lived. So live your life. So, church, what is it? Is it busyness? Are you so busy that it doesn't just edge out the Christmas story? It's edging out everything in your life. You don't have time for anything. Or is it familiarity? You're so close to this thing, and I've seen it, and I've heard the stories, and Pastor Joe, you don't get it. I'm in my 50s or 60s or 20s or 30s, and I'm over it. It's no big deal to me. Can I tell you something? You're no better than the religious rulers of Jesus' day. Or are you that person who's full of fear? You're saying, I could never relent control of my life to anyone else. I just can't do it. So I'm going to say this. For the best Christmas experience, you need to stop. Stop. 1 Peter 2:24. Scripture says, Christ carried the burden of our sins on the cross so that we could, say it with me, stop living for sin and start living for what is right. His wounds heal us. We need to look. Isaiah chapter 45, 22. Let all the world say it with me. Look to me for salvation, for I am God. There is no other. And finally, we need to listen. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Listen. Say that word. Listen to what God says. This is the hour to receive God's favor. Today is the day to be saved. Can I just tell you guys that that's what Christmas is about? Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. And my encouragement to you is the way that you're going to experience the best Christmas of your life is when you give him the greatest gift that you can give. And we joke, you know, what do you buy the guy that has everything? And I get it. You know, buying for Jesus is hard. But what if you gave him your love? What if you gave him your trust? What if you gave him your faith? What if you were bold enough to give him your life? My mother-in-law was an awesome woman of God, and she was a pastor's wife, and she was like the best case scenario for a pastor's wife, just like Kai is the best case scenario. How many guys, you went to a church where you were growing up, or maybe your last church, and the pastor's wife looked like she got baptized in pickle juice, you know what I mean? Like her lips were tighter than a chicken's hind end, you know, just an angry lady, and that's a country reference, but Kai's mom was a good lady. She was a good pastor's wife. She was a sweetheart, and she was so awesome and so loving. She'd pray with anybody, and you'd see people that would call her friend who would be the lowest of lows and the highest of highs. She was close friends with President Ford's family and all the way up to that level. And then she'd be hanging out with people, and they pastored in Nuevo with people who couldn't quite afford to pay a bill. And she had no differentiation between anyone. Everyone was the same. She just loved them and took care of them. She taught us what Christmas was all about. It was about Jesus. So then, not even 2 years ago, when she died on Christmas Day, it didn't change the meaning of Christmas for our family. In fact, if anything else, can I just tell you something? It cemented the Christmas story in our family. When you come over to any one of our house, we're not putting up black wreaths and black things over lamps and stuff like that and crying boo-hoo because we miss mom. We're not. And I'm not saying that in an irreverent way in any way. What I'm saying is we have joy unspeakable and full of glory. We're able to celebrate Christmas and not bawl our eyes out. Why? Because God is so good. She pointed to Jesus. We never missed Christmas. So my encouragement to you, church, is this. Don't miss Christmas. Make it about what it's about. Give him your heart. Give him your life. Give him your all. And what you'll find is you'll have the best Christmas of your life. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of speaking this word during Christmas. I know so many families are in here, and God, we thank you that you encouraged people in here today and that they found life and light in the midst of this message. And Father, I also pray for those people in here who don't know you. Help me to find them. In Jesus' name, heads bowed, eyes closed.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, visit newchapel.com.